Next case for argument is Boyce versus Moore. Mr. Smith.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Todd Smith of the LaFollette Godfrey & Kahn Law Firm in Madison, Wisconsin. And I have the privilege of representing the appellant in this case, Chester Boyce. Your Honor, this is a civil rights case filed originally by Mr. Boyce pro se, alleging deliberate indifference at the hands of various officials at the Cook County Department of Corrections. Mr. Boyce's claims center around two incidents where he was attacked by other inmates at the Cook County Jail. Mr. Boyce was first attacked as he returned to his jail cell from the jail day room. Mr. Boyce does not know the identity of his assailants that day, but his injuries were readily apparent to observers after the attack. Indeed, an officer specifically informed one of the defendants, Lieutenant Moore, of Mr. Boyce's injuries, but Lieutenant Moore did nothing about them. A few days later,
the Cook County Jail doesn't have whatever jail it is, doesn't have protective custody. Isn't that odd?
Your Honor, that's another claim that Mr. Boyce has raised. That is undisputed, in fact, and mentioned prominently in the appellee's brief that there was no protective custody available.
Is it still true? Do you know? Not that you would necessarily know.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I do not know.
There wasn't any in that tier, right?
There wasn't any in that division. Yes.
Right, that division, which has several tiers in it.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Boyce feared another attack from the same inmates who had attacked him the first time, and he wanted to be transferred out of that division so he would not be attacked again. And after observing his injuries and bringing this to the attention of a jail officer, Mr. Boyce was sent to the Shermack Healthcare Unit for medical attention for the first attack. The jail logbook notes both Mr. Boyce's injuries as well as his request to be transferred from that tier. Upon return from Shermack, Mr. Boyce specifically told another appellee, Lieutenant Malik, that he wanted to be moved out of Division 1 for his safety. Lieutenant Malik refused this request, and Mr. Boyce remained housed within Division 1. And a few days later, Mr. Boyce unfortunately again was attacked. As the result of the attacks, Mr. Boyce has permanently lost vision in his left eye.
Well, just clarify, is there a single jail or multiple jails or what? I'm confused.
Well, as I understand it, Your Honor, there's the Cook County Jail, which has separate divisions.
So we're talking about the Cook County Jail, and the separate divisions, are they separate buildings or separate facilities altogether or what?
I'm not sure if I know if they're separate buildings. They are separated by wings, and each wing has a floor within each wing as well.
I'm sorry, it has a what?
Has a floor. There's a... the divisions have separate wings that are given letters, and then there's a number for each floor. So within Division 1, there's a number of
so they're the tiers or the different wings or whatever?
Yes, tiers and wings.
Tier, of course, sounds like a floor.
I think that's correct, Your Honor. Mr. Boyce, on the day of his second attack, Mr. Boyce had been had requested to be excused from yard. It was on his way back to his cell from yard where he was attacked the second time. He asked to be excused from yard that day, but he was informed by a jail official that he had to go. It was a policy of the jail that he had to attend yard that day.
That policy has changed, right?
That policy has apparently changed, and it's disputed in the briefs. But I submit that based on Lieutenant Malik's testimony in the record in his deposition, that at the time a reasonable juror at least could have concluded that it was the policy of the jail that inmates had to attend yard. Regardless of any concerns they had about their safety. From the facts that I've recited, Mr. Boyce alleges three claims on appeal, pursues three claims on appeal. First, that Lieutenants Malik and Moore were deliberately indifferent to a substantial risk to his safety when they failed to transfer him out of Division 1 after the first attack. His second claim involves two jail policies. Mr. Boyce contends those two jail policies caused his deprivation. And finally, that Lieutenants Malik and Moore were deliberately indifferent to a serious eye condition after the first attack. And, Your Honors, I rest on my brief describing the material disputes of fact that we claim are in the record, but I want to highlight a few points for the Court's particular attention today. With regard to the failure to protect claim, it is important to note that Mr. Boyce brought his specific concerns to the attention of Lieutenant Malik. Boyce had just returned from a trip to Shermack for medical attention as a result of the first assault, and his injuries were also noted in the jail logbooks. And it was upon his return to the jail that he told Lieutenant Malik everything that he knew about the threat to his safety. He told Lieutenant Malik that he did not want to return to the same tier because that is where he was attacked the first time. He pointed to his eye and said, "I don't want to go back there because that's where this happened," pointing to his eye. He also told Lieutenant Malik that he wanted to be transferred out of Division 1. These statements told Lieutenant Malik all Boyce himself knew about the threat to his safety, and more importantly, told Lieutenant Malik everything that he needed to know in order to ensure Mr. Boyce's safety.
Is there anything that indicates the motivation for these attacks?
Mr. Boyce is unclear, but the motivation that he admittedly speculates on in his deposition is that he preached, not in a religious sense, but he would tell other inmates how to behave, and that they didn't like that. But that's my client's words. I see the rest of my time. I'll reserve.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, second, Mr. Smith.
May it please the Court, Pat Smith for the defendant appellees, Lieutenant Moore, Lieutenant Malik, and the Executive Director of Cook County Jail. Your Honor.
So can you tell us something about the structure? So this is, these divisions, are they separate buildings or separate facilities altogether?
Your Honor, it's a compound. There's 11 separate divisions in
11?
Cook County Jail.
11. So they're,
11.
They're buildings?
They're separate buildings.
Well. So apparently some of them do have protective custody facilities, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So why wouldn't it make sense to shift this fellow to another division which had protective custody?
Well, Division 1 houses...
Another division, presumably he'd be safer anyway.
The appellant, Mr. Boyce, was a convicted murderer at the time of the incident, both on June 14th and June 1st of 1994. The Cook County Jail usually houses murderers or detainees on charges of murder in 1, 10, and 11, and perhaps 9. According to the record and the deposition of Lieutenant Malik, he thought by transferring the Mr. Boyce to H1, he'd be safe there. So in lieu of protective custody, Lieutenant Malik did the best he could by taking Boyce from C4, we
had
a problem.
What do you mean, that he could? Because there's no procedure for switching people between divisions?
According to the record, counsel, I believe, is wrong. In his brief, Lieutenant Malik does not have authority to take Boyce from 1 to 10.
Oh, sure, he's just a lieutenant, but surely there's someone in the jail who can authorize the removal of someone. So why couldn't Malik say, "Well, I can't move you, but I'll check with my boss"?
Lieutenant Malik thought he was taking Mr. Boyce to a safe tier. And H1, according to the deposition and the record, is housed by older murderers, opposed to younger ones, so he felt that Mr. Boyce would be in a safer environment in H1.
It's odd to have a building for murderers and not have protective custody. I mean, you think that would be the place you'd be most likely to need a protective custody. Protect the murderers from each other.
At that time in 1994.
And also, just putting them on a different tier, that means they're going to mingle in the yard, aren't they?
Your Honor, according to the record, when the attack occurred after the yard on June 14th of 1994, there was nobody from C4 in the yard. That's undisputed. And
so it couldn't have been the same people?
It could not have been the same people, according to the record.
Unless they'd been moved to H.
And there's no record of that. There's no evidence of that.
One of the tiers been remodeled?
That's H1. That's kind of a quasi protective custody, according to the record.
That's where he was moved to?
Correct. Normally they'll house one per cell, opposed to two per cell. more in line
what
with
are
protective
these tiers?
Custody.
Are these tiers floors, or are they separate buildings, too, or wings, or what? Is it a horizontal or vertical?
It all depends. In Division 1, my knowledge of Division 1, it's you have like four wings per tier. I'm sorry, four tiers per wing, and there's H, G, C, and another one I can't remember offhand. It's been a while since I personally inspected Division 1.
And are C and H, are those the two involved here?
Yes.
And
yep.
C and H, are they in one wing, or are they just different floors of one wing? Or
different floors.
They're different floors of one wing. But that means that, you know, they're going to pass people from the other floors on the stairs or in the yard. They're going to mingle with people from the other. I mean, I understand what you said, there was no one from C4, but the people from the different wings do mingle in the yard, don't they?
They do, but
they're all in a
but
pool.
The inmates from C4 who initiated the first attack on June 1st were not there on the yard on June 14th. And again, the record, my reading of the record and the briefs, Your Honor, there's nothing Lieutenant Malik, there's nothing Lieutenant Moore could have done or could not have done to prevent that June 14th attack.
Well, what they could have done was to transfer him to another division, have or request that he be transferred to another murderer's division.
Perhaps, but again, in hindsight, Lieutenant Malik, on June 8th, after Boyce came back from Cook County Hospital, he thought he was doing the right thing, the necessary thing, to protect Boyce. But put him in H1.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Nick, how much time did you have? 4 minutes?
Thank you. Very briefly, whether inmates from Tier C4 were in the yard that day with inmates from Tier H1 is a disputed fact in this record. I'm not aware of any concession by my client or anywhere in the record that is necessarily not the case. I don't believe the cited portion of the portion of the record that's cited in the appellee's brief establishes as a matter of law or beyond dispute that the inmates did not mix that day in the yard. Mr. Boyce contends they are. I believe a reasonable jury should be allowed to make that determination.
Do you not dispute the fact that he was moved to H1 as a method of trying to protect him?
Well, the record is a little unclear. I think that's probably a fair inference, but originally he was to be moved to G1 because Lieutenant Malik said that there are some older inmates there, raising the inference that he was aware that there was a risk to Mr. Boyce and that he had to do something to get him to a safer place. But in fact, Mr. Boyce was not transferred to Tier G1. He was transferred to Tier H1. There is some evidence in the record that Tier H1 was newly remodeled, but as I've quoted in my brief, the cited portion of Lieutenant Malik's testimony states that it had been remodeled because of previously broken door locks and that it was, quote, as good a place as any to put Mr. Boyce. I would suggest that doesn't necessarily mean it was a quasi-protective custody or a particularly safe place. It was just a newly remodeled.
But the attack where he was covered with a blanket occurred because people came into his cell, right?
I think it was on his way to his cell. I think he might have been on a stairwell or just outside of his cell. I must confess I don't recall if it was inside or just outside of his cell. But the one thing that the defendant did not do was the thing that would have protected Mr. Boyce, which would have been to transfer him out of Division 1. That was the thing that he requested. They knew about it and they failed to do it. We submit that states a claim for deliberate indifference in this matter.
Was he a pretrial detainee at the time?
No, Your Honor. He was, I think, convicted by that time, so was subject to the Eighth Amendment protections.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Smith, and thank you very much for taking the case at our request.
My pleasure.
Your serious efforts on behalf of your client.